නමෝ තස්සේ භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්සේ නමෝ තස්සේ භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්සේ නමෝ තස්සේ භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්සේ. Last time we discussed Vappasutta, so just to give a kind of a recollection. So basically, Vappasutta is in the Anguttara Nikaya Chatukka Nipata. And while Buddha was dwelling in Nigrodharama, in the Kapilavattu, there was a discussion between Venerable Moggallana and Vappa. Vappa is actually a follower of the Nigantas. And there, Venerable Moggallana asking a question: if one is restrained by the body, speech, and mind, and again the fading away of ignorance also has happened, and do you see any possibility of future arising of painful feelings, future arising of painful suffering in the future existence? Now, once this question was asked, Vappa is answering, telling, yes, I see such a possibility, because there may be still some past karma may be available. Those are not yet ripened, and on the account of taints productive of painful feeling might flow in such a person in the future life, because still some karma is available for him to have a rebirth. Actually, when this discussion was going on, Buddha came in, and then he interrupted, he intervened, and he asked, "What is the discussion that you all have stopped because of my arrival?" And Venerable Moggallana mentioned what they were discussing, and then Buddha taken the opportunity to explain some Dhamma to Vappa. And first of all, he is getting some kind of a consent. He's telling, "Okay, Vappa, I like to discuss with you on the same matter, and I am going to explain something. In case you didn't understand it, so please feel free to ask from me, then I'll directly explain it to you. And so, if that is the case, I like to have a discussion with you." And then Vappa agreed, and now Buddha is putting another scenario to Vappa, telling that there may be certain defilements, taints, going to arise, and available taints are hardened when certain kind of bodily activities are performed, certain kind of bodily activities are conducted. But there's a person who is now restraining the bodily conduct. He's not doing any of those type of unwholesome deeds which are prone to further strengthen the defilements. So that is one side. And on the other hand, he has terminated the old karma and does not create new karma, and wearing away of the defilements, wearing away of the old karma, he can clearly see, immediately visible, and he can even invite someone to come and see, and he is personally experiencing this whole thing. And do you see any kind of a possibility which where the defilements which are productive of painful feelings again might flow upon him in the future lives? Now, in that case, actually, Vappa says no. So I can't see such a possibility. So similarly, Buddha asked the question with respect to the verbal activities. So there may be verbal activities, verbal undertakings, which are productive of defilements, which are further strengthening the taints. But knowing that one is refraining oneself and he is not doing anything evil through the verbal conduct, he is safeguarding himself. Not only that, he is not creating any new karma, and again he is fading away the past karma. And his ignorance also has faded away, and he can basically see the wearing away of the defilements, wearing away of the suffering, Do you save up any kind of a possibility that such person might get a future life with a possibility of having some painful experience? And they are also vulnerable. So this Vappa say, no, I can't see such a possibility. Then Buddha takes it to the third scenario with respect to the mental undertakings. So there may be certain way of thinking which are productive of defilements, which are more promoting the defilements, strengthening the influxes, knowing that one is basically restraining one's mental undertakings. So he is refraining from such thinking. Basically, he has tamed his thinking. And not only that, he does not create any newcomer and he terminates the old comer, having contacted the old comer again and again. Now, he can see the wearing away of the defilements and he can experience a peace. And in such case, Vappa, do you see any such possibility where the painful experiences going to arise in the future life? They are also Vappa say, no, I can't see. Then Buddha takes the fourth scenario where he is saying someone has completely faded away the ignorance. Because of ignorance also there are fair amount of fading away, sorry, because of the ignorance there are possibility of arising new defilements, strengthening further defilements, and knowing that one has completely abandoned the ignorance, instead he has now have the true knowledge. Instead of ignorance, now he has true knowledge. And as a result of that, those taints or defilements are not arising in him and no longer occur in him. And again, he does not create newcomer. All comer also has faded away. And he directly see, directly visible the outcome. He is abiding in a peaceful environment, peaceful mental state. Do you see, Vappa, anything on account of which taints productive of painful feeling might flow in upon such a person in future lives? They are also, Vappa say, no. Now, these are the four scenarios and there again Buddha adds another point. Now we are talking directly about an arahant. So this particular person, this particular enlightened person is maintaining six kinds of continuous abiding. Chakkuna rupan diswa neva sumano hoti na dummano upekkako viharati sato sampajana. When he sees certain visuals through his eyes, those may have the potential to produce some happiness or unhappiness in one person, but this person, this enlightened person, does not waver into any of those situations. Instead, is maintaining equanimity. Neva sumano hoti na dummano. He neither joyful nor saddened, but dwells equanimous, mindful and clearly comprehending. Whenever he hears sounds, whenever he smells odors, whenever he experiences any taste, whenever he feels any tactile object, and whenever any mental phenomena arise in one's mind, the same situation, so he neither saddened, neither joyful, he is maintaining equanimity with mindfulness and clear comprehension. Now Buddha talks about the last state. This particular person comes to the last moment of his life and there he understands, okay, now I am having a feeling which is terminating with the body. Again, there is a feeling which is terminating with life. So this is the last feeling. And with the breakup of the body and the exhaustion of the life, I am anyway not grasping any of these feelings. I am not identifying with them and I am not delighted with them. So all, as a result of that, all of these feelings, once the body breaks up, fades away. They become cool right here. That's it. No more rebirth. Now, after explaining all this, now Buddha give a kind of a simile. Suppose a shadow is seen on account of a stump. Now, stump is one thing, shadow is a result of the stump. We know that when a stump is there on the ground, because of the sunshine, there's a possibility of generating a shadow. Now, Buddha says, a man comes and bringing a shovel and a basket, and he would cut down the stump. He's cutting down the stump from the foot, from the very bottom. And even he dig it up and pull all the roots even. And even these fine roots, rootlets, those are also he's taking out. Even the root fibers he's taking out. And the stump also cut into pieces, split the pieces and reduce them to slivers. And then he drive the slivers in the wind and sun, burn them in a fire and reduce them to ashes. Now, basically, the simile explained that there is no possibility of future rising. There is no power of germination because he has taken out all the roots, even the rootlets and the root fibers, and the stump also cut into pieces, little pieces, taken it to the level of slivers. Everything is now dried and ultimately burnt and even sent away through the wind. Having done so, he would winnow the ashes in a strong wind or let them be carried away by the swift current of a river. So now almost like nothing is there. Everything completely become ash, and that also carried away by a current or a wind. Now what happened to the shadow? Thus the shadow that depended on that stump would be cut off at the root, made like a palm stump, obliterated so that it is no more subject to future rising. So there was a shadow which is possible because of the stump. Once the stump is completely destroyed, now there is no possibility of a rising of a shadow. Now Buddha saying again to Appa, so too Appa, a bhikkhu thus perfectly liberated in mind achieves six constant dwellings. Again he repeats the same explanation. Whenever such a monk, such an enlightened monk, sees some visuals through his eyes, he is not being joyful, he is not unhappy either, he is maintaining equanimity. Whenever he hears sounds, whenever he experiences some odors, whenever he experiences some taste, whenever he experiences some kind of a tactile object, and even a thought, still he maintains this equanimity without being joyful, neither being unhappy. Now, so basically the simile given explains some kind of a complete fading away, complete eradication of the causes. Actually, the shadow is what we want to abandon, but shadow was generated because of the stump. Now this wise person completely destroyed the stump. As a result of that, the shadow is no more available. Now, here we can see a kind of a shadow is what we are experiencing, some kind of a feelings, certain, say, different kinds of aggregates. We can say as the kind of a shadow. But the root cause may be craving, may be ignorance, and that actually causes again and again to these five aggregates to arise. So now what one would do is that he completely cut off the ignorance, cut off the craving, and he abandoned the possibility, he destroyed the possibility of future arising of the aggregates. It's no more accumulating karma. all karma also faded away. Now, once the death happened, the whole thing is completely disappeared, no more arising of new aggregates, basically. Now, once this is said, then Vappa mentioned, basically, I was searching for something good, something profitable, very much like I have raised certain horses for sale, expecting some gain or profit, but unfortunately I reap only weariness and distress. That is how now I can see the association with the Nigantas. I was expecting some kind of happiness, some sort of refuge, and that's why I have associated Nigantas, but I didn't get such a profit. Instead, I got weariness and distress. But now I understood the point, and from today onwards, I have abandoned all the foolishness which I had maintained with the Nigantas. Now I like to be a disciple of the Buddha, Dhamma Sangha. Let the Blessed One consider me as a lay follower who from today has gone for refuge for life. So he become a follower of the Buddha. So anyway, he's a fairly intelligent person, even though he has gone through wrong side with the Nigantas, but he quickly understood the situation. He changed his character, he changed his view towards the Buddha. Now few questions come in this sutta. So one thing is how one is abandoning the past karma. The other question is how one is avoiding the generation of new karma. All are related to the karma. So therefore I thought of giving some understanding or taking some explanation with respect to karma. Then we can go to another sutta which is more convincing about the situation. So let me explain something about the karma first. Now karma. So there's a good explanation about karma available in the Nibbedika Sutta, Anguttara Nikaya Chakka Nipata. So there are six sides are explained with respect to karma. So what is the karma? Chetanaham bhikkave kammang vadami, chetayitva kammang karoti, kayena vachaya manasa. So this is a very famous statement by the Buddha. Chetanaham bhikkave kammang vadami. Intention, I tell you, is karma. Okay, according to the Buddha, intention has to be there. So there are, if one has an intention, he can conduct a bodily karma, verbal karma, mental karma. So the intention is very much essential. Intention is very important part, essential part to generate karma. So therefore Buddha mentioned, okay, intention I tell you is karma. Intending one does karma by way of body, speech and intellect. Body, speech and mind. So this is something that we need to remember. So there may be certain activities we are unintentionally conducting. We didn't have any intention. But something have happened. But then we don't need to be responsible because there was no any intention. I didn't intend to tell like that. I didn't intend to do like that. So such statements are there sometimes we hear. So there was no kind of a intention. One didn't intend to do it. Say when you are stepping on some ants or any other creatures, so they died. You didn't even see them. You didn't have any intention to kill them. So therefore, since there is no intention, there is no any bad karma. So likewise, so intention becomes an essential component to generate the karma. So this is one side. The cause by which karma comes into play should be known. The cause by which karma comes into play. So there Buddha mentioned, Passo bhikkave kammana nidana sambhava. So the contact is a kind of a cause for this karma to come into play. The bodily activity is also conducted through the contact. Verbal activity also followed by contact. Mental activity also followed by contact. Say for example, you see sights, hear sounds, smell certain odors, taste some, experience some taste, experience some tactile objects, and you can recognize certain thoughts, mental objects. All have to come into the contact. So the contact is acting as a root cause. And again, the diversity of karma should be known. Diversity of karma. So there are certain karma which produce results in the hell. There is karma to be experienced in the hell. There is karma to be experienced in the realm of common animals, hungry shades, human world, heavenly worlds. So likewise, there are five areas Buddha mentioned here with respect to the four woeful states, at least three woeful states, and then one in the human world and the other in the heavenly world. Then the result of karma should be known. Thividam bhikkave kammanam vipakam vadami. Ditteva dhamme upapajyeva aparava pariyaye. Ayang ucchati bhikkave kammanam vipako. So how the karma give fruits? There are possibility to give fruits right here and now. Within this time, within this life, you can see the results. We typically call as Ditta Dhamma Vedaniya Kam. Here itself you can see the results. You will reap the results within this life. What we call as the Ditta Dhamma Vedaniya. And there are certain karma which you will result in the next life, immediate next life. Upapajja Vedaniya. And there may be ones which are arising at any time after the next life. So therefore we can see certain karma are having the potential to generate karma within this life, maybe in the future, immediate future life, or in any other future life. And another area, cessation of karma should be known. Now we come to another very important part, cessation of karma. Passa nirodho bhikkave kamma nirodho. So since we understood, okay, passa, the contact is one important cause for generating the kamma. So if we want to abandon the kamma, exhaust the kamma, then we should exhaust the passa, the contact. From the cessation of contact is the cessation of kamma. So the contact has to be ceased. Okay, the path of practice leading to the cessation of karma should be known. Now we have the question, okay, how are we going to cease the karma, cease the contact? That path, what is the path? Ayameva ariyo attangiko maggo kamma nirodha gamini patipada. Now we come to the solution. Okay, Noble Eightfold Path is the way to destroy the karma. Just this Noble Eightfold Path, right view, right determination, right speech, right action, right livelihood, right effort, right mindfulness, right concentration. This is the path of practice leading to the cessation of karma. Okay, now this is a kind of a summary which is available in the Nibbedika Sutta. Now, we know that the karma further explain with respect to the right view. Right view is twofold. The mundane type of right view and then the supramundane type of right view. In the mundane type of right view, what is emphasized is the belief of the karma. He accept the karma. He basically act based on the karma. And there are Buddha summarize in certain suttas like Mahachattarisika Sutta. There is what is given, what is offered, what is sacrificed. There are fruits and results of good and bad actions. There is this world and the next world. There is mother and father. There are spontaneously reborn beings. There are Brahmins and contemplatives who, faring rightly and practicing rightly, proclaim this world and the next after having directly known and realized it for themselves.
Now, this is the explanation coming for the right view, which is mundane, worldly, but still productive of the merit, having some influxes. So, which has influxes, sides with the merit, and results in acquisitions, good acquisitions. Now, these are few things we can understand with respect to karma. So, they are the important thing that we learned is that the destruction of karma is possible if one practices Noble Eightfold Path. So, Noble Eightfold Path act as the way to very much like cease the karma. Noble Eightfold Path. Now, certain other sides that we can understand in the sutta that we already discussed, the Vappa Sutta. So, as the fourth scenario, Buddha explained the abandoning of the ignorance. Abandoning of the ignorance. Now, that is taken as the fourth scenario. With the fading away of ignorance and the arising of true knowledge. Those stains, distressing and feverish that arise with ignorance and as condition no longer occur. Now, ignorance or these influxes play another role in generating the karma. So, when ignorance is there, we always identify as a person, as a being, and we have now intention, strong intention to protect myself, to highlight myself, to kill another person, to kill another being, because I manifest as a person. I manifest as an individual. So there are the possibility of creating karma is very high, because I act as an individual, I act as a person, I act as a being. But suppose there's a situation that as a result of the practice, one understand, okay, there is no such being, there is no such individual, such a person. What has happened is basically because of a dependently arising process. Because of the ignorance, there are formations. These formations produce some kind of gravity, some sort of a dynamic process between the consciousness and the name and form. It actually pulls one to assume as a person, act as a person. That is basically governed by ignorance, produced by ignorance, strengthened by the ignorance. So what happened? That ignorance is abandoned. If that ignorance is abandoned, so no more he can act as a person, but the others may see him as a person. He is eating, he is rising, he is walking. All the activities like another typical human being, he too go through. Others can see like that. But internally, his understanding is so powerful. Internally, he does not act as a person. Now, this is very interesting scenario. Sometimes in the suttas, Buddha highlight saying that after his realization, after his liberation, so the others may see, okay, this as the Tathagata. This is the Buddha. But Buddha has abandoned the whole manifestation of identification of the person. He doesn't have any personality view. He doesn't have any Sakkayaditti, neither any Asmimana. So that root is completely abandoned. That ignorance is completely abandoned. So his way of life is difficult to explain by the mundane terms in that way. So typically we manifest as a person, as an individual. So that is how the society is working. So they issue an identity card, they issue a passport, they have a social security number or identity card number, whatever. So that you are made an individual. So society wants you to be an individual. So your identification, your very distinct presence has to be something which is essential for the proper communication, proper continuation of the society. So that's why we are asked to be an individual. We are taught to be an individual. We are expected to be an individual. So that is now being pretty hardcore in our life, in our mind. We can't even penetrate it. But the Dhamma help us to penetrate it. Dhamma help us to see the reality. So through Vipassana, you have the opportunity to see how the form is acting, how the feelings are acting, how the perceptions are acting, how the mental formations are acting, and again how the consciousness is acting. So such a very deep investigation helps to abandon the ignorance. Instead, one is now having true knowledge. Now, when such true knowledge is available, now assume that you are not making a self, not making an I, not making an individual. Even that's going to happen, you are slowly disclaiming it. Okay, I don't need it. So this is the ignorant behavior of the mind, which I used to do, which I used to be a victim of that habit, that trait, but I am no more interested in that. I don't want anymore to appear like a individual. I don't want to claim as an individual. I don't want to act as an individual. But that also doesn't mean that you completely become kind of a self-denial. You may be able to act as a mother, father, an administrative officer or teacher or whatever it is, but knowingly, okay, this is a temporary act, this is a temporary cast. Knowingly that you are doing it. Not permanently knowing, not thinking, ignorantly thinking, okay, there is so-called person, there is so-called individual, so important person here, which I have to highlight, which I have to promote, which I have to win every time. There is no such ignorant person. Instead, he is acting based on wisdom. Now, with the practice of Satipatthana, at least time to time you may come to such an understanding, particularly when the mind is not touching the basically any defilements, no more any grasping. Because when there is no grasping, you can't create a self. So in order to create a self, grasping is a must. Grasping appears as a prerequisite. But when there is no grasping, you can't act as a person. So what happened next? So when there is no grasping, but still you continue to live. Suppose that you practice Satipatthana, and as a result of that, you experience non-grasping state of mind. Now the mind does not grasp anything, hold anything, at least for some time, say for 1 hour, for example. So what happened to the activities during that time you did that, you did or you conduct? So you can't find any results for those activities, results in the sense producing any karmic potential in your mind, because there was no person. So even though you have acted without a personal involvement, without participation of a self. You are going, you are walking, you are cleaning, or you are helping another person. But interesting thing is, mostly you may not involve with the unwholesome side, because the proper Sammaditti is available in yourself. Not only the mundane type of Sammaditti, even the supramundane type of Sammaditti is now operating in the mind. So in the supramundane type of Sammaditti, so one aspect is that you know what is correct, what is good, what is wholesome, and you know what is unwholesome, what is incorrect. So as a result of that, so you are operating on a ground. Yeah, you only conduct what is known as good, what is wholesome. You are no more involved in the unwholesome. But another interesting thing is, even though you are involved with the wholesome, it doesn't generate karma. Now, the Noble Eightfold Path, as we already discussed, act as the way to cease the karma. Now you are practicing Sila, Samadhi, Panya, Noble Eightfold Path. So the more you are practicing the Noble Eightfold Path, you are more and more aligned with this scenario. More and more you are acting without a self. So the more and more we get closer to the Noble Eightfold Path, more and more we practice the Noble Eightfold Path, the right view is operating in the mind, wisdom is operating in the mind instead of the ignorance. Now you are acting, but without a personal involvement, without a self. You may be walking, but you can't find a person who is walking. You may be sitting, but you can't find a person who is sitting. You may be eating, but you can't find a person who is eating. There may be thoughts in the mind, but you can't find a thinker behind the thoughts. So likewise, very interesting area that we are coming across as we are forwarding in the Vipassana practice. Now things are happening, but you don't manifest as a person, manifest as an individual. So then what happened to the karma? You can't find karma which you are generating, the new karma not being generated. What happened to the old karma? So that is the other part that we need to address now. So what happened to the old karma? So there may be certain old karma which still produce the results. You know that even the Buddha went through certain painful situations. Say for example, he suffered a body pain, a back pain. Sometimes Devadatta put a boulder to his head. Fortunately, he's only the leg being injured. So likewise, certain once he get closer to the passing away, he went through certain diarrhea type of ailment. So certain explanation is there. I heard there are 12 scenarios explained which are attributed to some past karma the Buddha himself has gone through. And Venerable Moggallana, who was the theme of this sutta also, he too went through some suffering towards his the final passing away. Once he approached the passing away, so certain bandits comes together and almost killed him. That caused him to actually pass away. So likewise, certain bad karma still have some potential to give some fruits even to the arahant. But many other past karma become almost like null and void. Because if you are talking about the arahant, so this is his final birth. There is no any future births because he has completely abandoned the ignorance. And since there is no future birth, there are many, many karma which become null and void. Basically, ahosi karma. We call them as ahosi karma. There may be certain lot of karma available giving potential at a heavenly realm, at a Brahma realm, in a human realm, in a future life. But this person, this enlightened person, no more going to have any heavenly realms, any heavenly births or the Brahma births. Nothing is there. This is final birth. So many potential karma become null and void. They become ahosi karma. So therefore, attainment to path and fruition, when one become a sotapanna, when one become a sakadagami, when one become an anagami, when one become an arahant, a fair amount of karma being abolished because your future births are becoming more and more limited. So with that understanding, if we now go to another sutta, just to give an idea. So this sutta is called training, with respect to the training, Patama Sikha Sutta, available in the Anguttara Nikaya again. So there actually Buddha talks about the Sekhya, or rather the Sikha, what we call as the different precepts. For example, for monks, once in fortnight they have to recite all the Vinaya Sikha, Vinaya precepts, what we call as the Pathimokkha. Now, with respect to the Pathimokkha, now Buddha mentioned training in the higher virtuous behavior, the training in the higher mind, training in the higher wisdom. So these are the three trainings: training in the higher mind, training in the behavior, training in the higher wisdom. Adi sila sikha, adi chitta sikha, adi panya sikha. And these three trainings, in which all this is comprised. And there may be a person who fulfills the virtuous behavior. The bodily part, verbal part, he is fulfilling. But cultivates concentration and wisdom only to a moderate level. He falls into offenses in regard to the lesser and minor training, but he rehabilitates. But anyway, with respect to the fundamental training of the spiritual life, he strictly follow such rules, such precepts. And his behavior with that kind of very fundamental precepts, he is quite steadfast. He maintains them properly. Having undertaken training rules, he trains them. With utter destruction of three fetters, he becomes a stream winner. Now we can see certain scenario. I'll give you a summary of this whole explanation that would be easy to understand later. So this is a stream winner. So the situation explained is basically he has abandoned three fetters. And then he no longer subject to rebirth in the lower world. Now previously there may be he had certain potential to be reborn in the lower realm, but three fetters he has completely cut off. As a result of that, no more possibility to reborn in a lower realm. That's a huge gain with respect to Sotapanna. He had some potential to be born in a hell realm, but because of the practice, now he has cut off the three fetters that basically avoids any possibility to born in a hell realm. That's a huge profit, huge gain a person would get. Now you can see when one become a stream winner, such a gain is there for him. So the suffering he has abandoned is immense. In the worst case scenario, he may be born for seven lifetimes. So his suffering is only limited to those seven lifetimes, future births. That's it. No more. And then Buddha explained another scenario. Same explanation actually. One is practicing the virtuous behavior, and he cultivates concentration wisdom only to a moderate level. He is maintaining virtuous behavior fully, but concentration and wisdom only partly. And he might get into some offenses as well. Certain lesser offenses, minor training rules, he might breach. But he quickly rehabilitates. Anyway, with regard to the very fundamental training rules, he is making them very properly, maintaining them properly. There is no any harm to them. Now, he further basically reduced the hatred and greed. Greed and hatred he further reduced. Already the three fetters cut off. Further he reduced the greed and hatred. Now he become a once returner. What we call a Sakadagami. Now his future births are further limited. For the sensual realm, he comes only once. So what's the advantage? Advantage is there may be many different karma which are productive of giving results in the sensual realm, since he is coming only once, many of them become null and void. Now we go to the third scenario, where one become an anagami, non-returner. So his behavior is little different. Now he fulfills not only the virtuous behavior, he fulfills concentration. Concentration he also become complete in him. And his wisdom is still moderate. So remember that we were talking three training sides. Adi Sila Sikha, Adi Chitta Sikha, Adi Panya Sikha. Adi Sila Sikha is the training with respect to the behavior. Adi Chitta is with respect to the concentration. Adi Panya is with respect to the wisdom. So the Sotapanna and Sakadagami both has fulfilled the Adi Sila Sikha. But Adi Chitta and Adi Panya Sikhas, they are moderate. But the Anagami, he fulfills Adi Sila Sikha and Adi Chitta Sikha. The concentration also he fulfills. But anyway, interestingly, he still falls into offenses with respect to some minor rules. But he quickly rehabilitates himself. And his behavior with respect to the very fundamental rules of the spiritual life, so those are intact. Those are he maintains properly. And now he abandons another fetters, two fetters, that greed and hatred completely abandoned, and five fetters are altogether now abandoned. He becomes only having one spontaneous birth, and he never returns to the sensual realm. So whatever the karma he had potential to give results in the sensual realm, no more going to give in the future life. He never come back to the sensual realm. All the karma which had the potential to give results in the sensual realm is now abandoned. And now we are coming to the Arahant. Now he fulfills all three areas, all three trainings. Adi Sila Sikha, Adi Chitta Sikha, Adi Panya Sikha. He is taking it to the perfection. But interestingly, you can see Buddha is mentioned. Anyway, still there is a possibility of falling into offenses of minor training rules. But he quickly rehabilitates them. And having undertaken whatever the fundamentals to the spiritual life, anyway, he is maintaining without any issues. Now he has completely abandoned all the training rules, all the defilements, all the asavas, anusayas, everything is abandoned. And he has attained the taintless liberation of the mind, liberation by wisdom. And he dwells in it, no more future births, this is final. There were many potential karma available, going to give results in the future births. All are now become null and void. So this is how it is explained. Now I have explained here using a little table, giving a summary. So three areas are the virtuous behavior, concentration and wisdom. The stream enterer and the once returner. So basically, virtuous behavior is fulfilled, concentration is moderate, wisdom is also moderate. And once non-returner, so concentration also he fulfills. And fully enlightened, he fulfills all three areas. Concentration, wisdom and virtuous behavior. Now, this is how basically the attainments plays a very important role in the complete destruction of the karma. So, the complete destruction of karma is not merely that you experience all the karma and abandon it, exhaust it. Rather, it is a different way where you practice the Noble Eightfold Path. As a result of that, you are not accumulating any new karma. That is one side. And since you are practicing and you are attaining this path and fruition, that basically cut off fair amount of future potential of the karma. But still there may be certain residues you might have to go through within this life or whatever the future lives, depending on the attainment. For the worst case scenario of a stream winner, he may have to go through maximum 7 births, and during that time he has to go through some experience, some karma, that's all. But if we consider an arahant, so this becomes his final birth, no more future births, so all the potential karma is very much like exhausted. Till he live, he might have to go through some karma, but those, that is also, when compared to the whole massive amount of karma, almost like negligible. Okay, with that I like to conclude today's sutta teaching session. Now I like to open the session for questions.
Thank you, Vante, for the Dhamma talk. It was very nice. If anybody has any questions, please raise their hands and unmute. We can give the questions for the Swami to answer. Do you have any questions from your side, Bhante? We don't have any.
Yeah, from our side also there are no questions. Seems like the questions were sorted because of the explanation. Right. Yeah.
So I like the chart that you shared with us.
Yeah.
Maybe if you can share that, we can distribute that as well.
Okay, sure. I'll try to upload it to the chat.
Yes. Okay.
And probably I'll send it to your email as well.
Right. And I can ask Jennifer. She's the one who sort of shared this.
Yeah.
We'll ask to share it.
Okay. I have shared in the chat. So if you are able to visit to your chat, you can download it.
Very good.
Yeah. Okay. I think there are no questions. Almost like everything is clear.
Thank you so much for your today's Dhamma talk.
And then we'll wind up the session, and I kindly invite Venerable Dhammosada to conduct the sharing of merits.
Masai Swami said today's topic is very deep, very profound, karma.
Yeah.
Yes, we are fortunate to be able to listen to this talk and gain merits from just listening and teaching the Dhamma. And therefore, we'd like to extend these merits to our teachers, our parents, all the deities. May all our relatives rejoice in our merit-making. May the devas rejoice in our merits. May all celestial beings protect this Dhamma and the Buddha's dispensation for a long time. And may the seeds of Dhamma that we have received continue growing, producing path, fruition, and Nibbana. Now let us chant the traditional Pali verses for the sharing of merits. Etavata chamhehi sambhatam punya sampadang sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhya. Etavata chamhehi sambhatam punya sampadang sambe bhuta anumodantu sabba sampati siddhya. Ettavata chamhehi sambhatam punya sampadang sabbe satta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhiya. Akasattha ca bhummattha deva naga mahindika punyang tang anumoditva chirang rakkantu sasanam. Akasattha ca bhummattha deva naga mahindika Punyang tang anumoditva chirang rakkantu desanam. Akasatta cha bhummatta devanaga mahitika. Punyang tang anumoditva chirang rakkantu mamparam. Idang o nyati nang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang o nyati nang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang o nyati nang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Imina punya kammena mame bala samagamo. Satang samagamo hotu yavani bana patya. Imina punya kammena mame bala samagamo. Satang samagamo hotu yavani bana patya. Imina punya kammena mame bala samagamo. Satang samagamo hotu yavani bana patya. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.